I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. The 12th annual Shift Festival is on at the Annex, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th of July. The Artistic Director of Shift Theatre, Coco Roberge, joins me now to talk about the company's work, as well as this festival and the works themselves. Ty Amy Grumman's Marie's Letters, a new work by Kelsey Canatan Wavy, and Sound Off by Claire Love Wilson and Sarah Vickrick will be performed. For the price of one ticket, one can see all three shows over the course of the festival. There's also a festival reading and workshop. Visit shifttheatre.ca for tickets and information. Coco Roberge is an educator at Riverside Secondary's Rivers Edge Theatre. She's a graduate of the University of Victoria and NYU's Tisch School of the Arts. Please welcome to the Plante Online program, Coco Roberge. Ms. Roberge, good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about my work.
It's remarkable work that you do there at Shift. I was going to ask you about what sort of impact or what sort of import that has on the larger theater community in this city, in this part of the world, say.
I do feel like part of the cultural fabric in the city. There's a lot of independent theater and a lot of incredible and innovative art being made in Vancouver by a lot of diverse and talented and well-educated individuals. We have such a plethora of institutions to train, but there's not necessarily a plethora of funding to go around. Mm-hmm. So, you've got all of these different companies. I really see it as a buffet for the theater going public. I mean, currently right now with Revolver Festival, which is part of Magnetic North, which is, you know, all of this stuff that's going on, it's actually a challenge to be able to see all the things I want to see right now and support all of the artists that I want to support. It's so much. So as a part of that, I just, as a Shift Theater's artistic director, I'm just trying to participate in a way that is resonant and engaging and that encourages compassion and dialogue. And I really like the idea of doing some, you know, original work. And I'm passionate about working with underrepresented communities and or telling stories that might be untold.
Right, and that's one that's part of the mandate that Shift has is to spotlight diverse and underrepresented voices. I mean, it's a noble idea, it's a good idea, but in a larger sense, it's more important now than any time before, isn't it?
I think it's always been important, and it's just being appreciated, I think, perhaps at the moment. So to get as much work as I can done to get done in terms of producing, supporting, funding, promoting, and then to get out of the way so that the spotlight is on somebody like Ty Amy Grauman with her work or somebody like Kelsey Wavy with her work. That's my goal. I don't want the work to be centered on me at all, and I want to be able to push attention onto a story that needs telling.
That's what people can expect in July at Shift Festival 12. Now, we'll get into the specific works in just a sec, but how does it work the 11th, 12th, and 13th if you go to the Annex here in Vancouver?
So, yeah, that's a great question. Thanks for asking it. I think I need to adjust our website so that it's clearer. I'll work on that. But the thing that we're doing is a three-day festival at Annex. Every event is focused there, and thank you to Vancouver Civic Theatres. So we got an underutilized spaces grant in order to use the Annex, and that is a coup because I was looking not only for a financially viable space, but also a physically accessible space. Mm. And being a modern theater, it is. It means that the differently abled members of my audience can attend, which is very, very important to me. The festival opens on Thursday night, July 11th, with an 8 p.m. show. And that show, the program of that show, is three short Sharp original shows. So it's three shows for one great price. The idea being that that opening night is also our first ever alumni night. And because our festival is 12 years old, we decided, let's see if we can get as many people as possible to the theater who have collaborated with us in the past. We're talking the actors, designers, directors, producers, stage managers, technicians who have worked on any of the Shift festivals, from the first one, which was at the Inlet Theater, to the last one, which were at the Fire Hall Studio, CBC Studio, and the Kulch. Mm-hmm. So we're doing alumni night on opening night, and it's $12 for alumni. It's going to be a promo code that we put out, and I think that's a really cool way for us to pull a community together and reconnect. That night, there will be some live music after the show and a chance for us to celebrate a little bit, midsummer, you know, good times. Uh-huh. The next day, Friday the 12th, there are two opportunities to engage with the work. The first is at 4 o'clock, and it's a workshop by Claire Love Wilson called Song Walking. Song walking is a kind of a system of being super physically aware of the space around you, moving around the urban center where we live, and building songs out of what you feel, sense, see, how you respond and react to the physical environment and how that impacts, you know, a melody in your mind. So Claire will be doing that 90-minute workshop, which starts at the Annex, and is for anybody, for $19, for anybody regardless of musical ability or singing experience. Uh-huh. That has almost nothing to do with it. Then that night we'll do another 8 o'clock show. All three shows perform again.
Yeah.
Then the last day of the festival, which is Saturday the 13th, we're putting on a matinee 2 o'clock performance. It is a staged reading of a new play called Evolutionary Tango. I'm really excited about that work. The staged reading will be it's a full-length play, so 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. It's a $15 ticket. There's going to be snacks and coffee and, you know, a talk back and the opportunity for our audience to truly engage with and actually dialogue with the work. The piece is directed by Catherine Shaw, who's the artistic director of Studio 58,
mm-hmm.
and features Donna Carol White, who is an awesome actor in our midst. So that piece, the purpose of Evolutionary Tango is to kind of fulfill a mandate of mine to increase the opportunities for our intergenerational, our elder audience, to see theater that is atypical perhaps or innovative. I'm always thinking about like what will my mom want to see? She's 75 and, you know, she doesn't want to come to the theater and see something that she's seen before. She doesn't want to be she doesn't want anything that is not innovative and original and progressive and pushes a little bit of boundary. So, yeah, I think that's a space where theater can maybe up their game, and I'd like to participate in that space.
Yeah.
That night we'll do the reading, and then we'll take a dinner break, and then that night we'll you know, have one last audience for our three nightly shows, and that'll be that.
Yeah, and so these three shows, it's fascinating to read what each of them are about, because, and is it that fascinating that you can see all three in one night?
Yeah, so they're short pieces.
Uh-huh.
I like to say short, sharp, original, sharp meaning intelligent. I love the idea that we're going back to our roots in this way. The Shift Festival, until last year, was always many, multiple pieces of theater in one kind of exciting evening.
Uh-huh.
And then last year, for the very first time, we produced a Shift-developed full-length work called Titillations by Yvette Dudley Newman. And that was a really cool adventure. And this year we decided to go back to sort of a smorgasbord.
Yeah. And so are these pieces then... eventually, will they be adapted, or will they be made into full length pieces later on?
That is up to the artist. I would support them if I can support them, I will. But these pieces are complete in themselves. So you're not seeing a snippet or an excerpt necessarily. You're seeing you're seeing something. We might call it a one act,
right.
but that term can be kind of constraining. So I prefer just it's a sharp piece of theater.
Yeah.
You know, it's a short piece, and it's cool because you know audiences, not all audiences, but many audiences, especially midsummer. We're not looking to sort of settle in for a long, you know, a long, like, winter's show. I'm providing something where you can show up to the theater, you can be challenged, and something might resonate with you, and then you're out of the theater by 9:30 to enjoy the rest of your July night.
And these three pieces, Marie's Letters, Sound Off, and then is it Appomattox? Is that how you pronounce it?
I believe so.
Yeah, these are three different pieces,
yeah.
But I hate to use that phrase. There's something for everyone, isn't there?
Maybe that does apply here, although that is never the goal. I'm not trying to, you know. It's like that adage. What do they say? You can't please.
Oh sure, yeah.
What is that idea about like not pleasing everybody all of the time?
Yeah.
so yeah, I mean. The cool thing, I think, is that these pieces were part of a submission process. So in the last month, in December, last month of 2018, these pieces were submitted along with many others. And I get the honor of reading work and almost a through line kind of emerges, you know, like it's an accident in a way when there's a through line. But I like anybody, I like to look for thematic through line. And I do feel like there is a through line with this stuff, these three things, that is connected to embodied experiences, physically real experiences,
mm-hmm.
that are connected directly to the territory where we live and work.
You mentioned that these three pieces, sort of, there's a through line through all of them.
Yeah.
I guess the thing that I was just thinking about is, I guess our time sort of, and where we are today, sort of demands that of say, our playwrights, if you will, and what audiences need to see. And, you know, the work of decolonizing, I mean, that's important work that you found necessary to do all the time. And I think that's where we are, isn't it? We need this stuff, right?
I really think so. And I think theater continues to be a necessary and relevant art form, even in the digital age. I mean, isn't it incredible that when you can get anything delivered to a technological device in your pocket, that people still go to the theater, that we still crave a face-to-face sort of physical, collective experience that absolutely lights my fire, right? Like, that's what I want to do. And in order to do that, where we live, when we live, with a conscience, I think that means I gotta support, fund, talk about, be about, and then get out of the way and put the people that need to be in the spotlight, in the spotlight.
When you talk to these writers, these playwrights about their work, what are some of the conversations that you're having in terms of when a piece is ready? I mean, are you involved? You mentioned you have the honor of reading them for the first time.
Yeah.
Are you involved at all in, say, changes that need to be made for the stage, perhaps?
So in this, it all depends on which festival and which show. But this year, especially because part of the work of decolonizing our art making means that my opinion is collaborative. It is not a top-down approach.
Yeah.
So, you know, when an Indigenous playwright, for example, an Indigenous creator, performer comes to me with a piece of work, I'm not going to say from my perspective that it isn't true, that it isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
It is always enough, and I'm going to support excellence. And so, for example, Ty Amy Grumman and Kelsey Wavy are bringing two pieces to the festival, and I have had nothing to do with their writing, their creation, and I will have nothing to do with their rehearsal other than to support it by providing space and finances. They have selected their directors, and they have chosen the story that they're going to tell, and I believe in that story, so I will just help tell it in that way. I am directing Sound Off, mm-hmm. but it's a funny play to direct because it is half improv. So the piece will change and evolve as the festival continues. So I'm more of like an outside eye. I'm just sort of shaping the work as we continue with rehearsal. So it depends on the festival, but this year I see myself as I have had the opportunity to choose these shows, so I'm kind of driving that boat, and we're all in this together. So I am more of a producer than anything else.
And it must be fascinating to see this talent emerge as you
yes.
do. I mean, I've reached you this morning at Riverside Secondary, where you
correct,
which is your day job, I guess.
It's my day job. So
yeah, and so it must be fascinating to work with young people,
yeah.
and then at the same time to work with I was gonna say older, but that's probably not totally descriptive.
No, it's totally fine. That's the truth. I see where you're going, and I love that. I let me match your enthusiasm, because it is really cool to meet young people who have creative ideas and creative desires, and who are building their place in the world when they are 14, grade 9. And then to, you know, later that evening, work with somebody like Beth Coleman, who is the playwright of Evolutionary Tango, who is a retired teacher and professor, and who has decided to tell a highly innovative, almost sci-fi story for people her age and older about a 108-year-old woman. Like, it's mm-hmm. so cool. So, you know, at school I get to... my goal at school is not to build, you know, Tony Award-winning actors. It is to provide a safe space for kids to figure out who they are and how they fit in the world, what they can offer, and to build, you know, to build on the skills that they have, and to become more comfortable with what they have. So their voice, their body, their imagination, all of that. So then I see them graduate. Very few of them continue in theater, and that's mm-hmm. okay. They will all be future audience members. They're all more respectful of the theater once they leave the classroom, right?
Yeah, and whatever,
that's really cool.
Whatever they do later on, the skills that you've imparted.
I think it applies.
Yeah, on anything, right?
I think it applies. That's why I do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the opportunity of making high school a little bit more fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my classroom isn't all hard work. There's a lot of play, and that is so important
right.
in child and brain development, and yet in a lot of high school classrooms, that opportunity is not made available, and it's not the teacher's fault. The curriculum is intense, and there are expectations. So I'm lucky because I also get students for multiple years, and I'm the only drama teacher in the school. So if I met you, Joe, as a grade 9 actor, and then in grade 10 you decide to take musical theater, and then in grade 11 you take my dance class, and then in grade 12 you're in my theater company, well, I've participated, hopefully in a positive way, in your growing up,
right.
and I've seen you grow, and it is really very fascinating and fulfilling.
Well, long may it continue. It's been just fun to talk to you today for Shift Festival 12 Break a Leg, as they say. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate
Thanks. Thanks, Joe. Thank you.
Visit shifttheater.ca for tickets and information. The 12th annual Shift Festival is on at the Annex here in downtown Vancouver, the 11th through to the 13th of July. Again, visit shifttheater.ca for details on the program, as well as get tickets there. Coco Roberge joined me on the line from Coquitlam in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.